It's Morning Edition on WNYC. I'm Michael Hill. This is how Manhattan's top prosecutor introduces himself.
Alvin Bragg, Manhattan District Attorney, lifelong Manhattan resident, Knicks fan.
A progressive Democrat and the first African-American to hold his post, Bragg became a frequent target of Republican gubernatorial candidate Lee Zeldin, who pledged he would fire him on day one. Last week, Bragg sat down for a one-on-one with WNYC's senior politics reporter Bridget Bergen about his tumultuous first year in office, how he plans to change his approach in year two, and how he became a lightning rod in the governor's race.
Why do you think you became Zeldin's target?
So, you know, I'm not going to purport to speak for Lee Zeldin, but it really, to me, was quite unfortunate. You know, we have real public safety challenges that require real discussion. And so to have very serious issues reduced to, you know, many times kind of false facts, it was very sobering, taking us back to sort of a Willie Horton era of politics. And I just thought it was a disservice to the voters.
You're not the only progressive prosecutor that Republicans across the country have gone after. Certainly, we saw it happen with the recall in San Francisco, what's going on right now in Philadelphia with Larry Krasner and the impeachment trial. What do you think it says about the ongoing threats to democratically elected officials across the country?
Voting matters. Voting should matter. Democracy matters, right? Our institutions, our local elections matter. Voters should not be disregarded.
You wrote after the election that the public was sending a message to elected officials that people have serious concerns about crime and public safety. Is there anything that you feel like you should have done differently over the past year to address those issues, those concerns?
So look, there is no doubt, and I didn't need the electoral governor campaign for that, you know, because, you know, talk to my neighbors, you know, I talk to those who I go to church with, I, you know, am in and out of, you know, all of our neighborhoods in Manhattan, and I'm hearing directly about concerns. You know, one of the reasons I'm speaking to you, I think something I need to do more is, you know, I'm a lawyer by training. I love practicing. I love working on our cases. But I think I need to be doing more of what we're doing today, which is speaking directly to constituents through you of what we are doing. So people know what we're doing. So people know, and they know that our gun prosecutions are up. They know about the gun trafficking wiretap investigations we did. They know about the ghost guns. We know about the prosecution of the person who's now incarcerated because he stabbed people on the train. So that's something that I would have done differently and that I'm trying to do differently going forward.
Related to your work with Mayor Adams, what do you think are some of the opportunities to work together? What do you see as sort of ways going forward?
You know, one area that we've worked on consistently, and it's really the sort of, I would say, with the NYPD, but obviously that's, they're under the mayor's watch, you know, is our gun interdiction. You know, the gun violence strategic partnership that President Biden visited earlier this year, you know, literally federal, state, local partners sitting around a table talking about the drivers of violence. We did some training recently with NYPD on hate crimes.
What is your reaction to his announcement this week about forcibly hospitalizing people experiencing mental illness? Was your office consulted in any way?
So not consulted on that announcement. You know, mental health is such an important issue in the criminal justice system. So it's been something that we've been focused on here within the four corners of our system. We started a division called Pathways to Public Safety. And the core thesis is developing lawyers who have expertise in mental health and substance use disorder diversion and getting them integrated into sort of the case workflow at the earliest possible time to determine if there's an appropriate way to resolve the case, connecting people to treatment.
So many of the people who have responded to this new program have raised concerns about the risks that it could pose to both individuals and to law enforcement, who are going to be in a position of having to, you know, pick these people up and take them into emergency rooms. You know, we have a limited number of beds. We're talking about a large population. I'm wondering what your concerns are about the risks this could pose that could be felt by your office.
As I understand the proposal, I don't no, you know, chapter and verse. It is, you know, civil commitment. And so it's not, there's not a direct overlay with sort of our criminal enforcement, obviously. But you, in your question, I want to go back to it, I don't want to lose it. The thread talked about capacity of the system. I think that's the number one issue. As we started to scale up our mental health diversion here, you know, one thing, you know, I learned early on was our capacity by contract for our mental health course, which is for serious mental illness, is 50 matters at a time. You think about Manhattan and 50 means. When we started increasing connections of people to mental health services, we rightfully heard from those who provide those services, well, hey, look, our contracts are at a certain level. The number of clinicians and this is a real expertise, and people who have that expertise. We have a, to even take a step back further, we have a kind of a, you know, social worker shortage, a pipeline issue. So we certainly need to invest.
How do you want to start this upcoming year? What's going to define success for your office? You're not up for a re-election until 2025, but what do you want people to be thinking about going forward?
I think we are going to continue to press on gun violence. I view that still as the number one issue, trending in the right direction. That's going to continue to be a significant priority. We spent some time talking about mental health. I do think if we can really help with some key investments and flag that as an issue that affects the system A to Z and address that, that will address recidivism and get us to some really enduring public safety benefits. Yeah, we started a housing and tenant protection unit. So we're in the middle of an affordable housing crisis. We don't do housing policy here, obviously, but in terms of prioritizing our resources, we know, you know, if tenants are harassed out of their homes, or if, you know, someone is, you know, endangering systematically tenants through kind of not doing lead paint abatement, for example, you know, that's affecting our public health and our public safety.
A day after this interview, a state Supreme Court justice dismissed murder charges against Tracy McCarter at Bragg's request. She stood accused in the stabbing death of her estranged husband, but the justice said she would not seal the case for 60 days so prosecutors could determine whether McCarter should face other charges. A spokesperson for Bragg said the office is reviewing the court's decision.